This morning, folks, as we come to look at the eternal Word, we come to look at Christ as being always, always will, and always has been. He's going to be our eternal God. Folks, a lot of times we hear of people talking and they say, well, we don't believe Christ was with God at the very beginning. Well, the scriptures are full of readings where it says that Christ was there with God at the very beginning. And as we look at scripture that we read for the pouring of the water, he was there when they laid the foundation of the earth. And we know that Christ is with us. He has been there from the very beginning when earth was formed. It tells us, as we read in John 1:1-5, that it's going to be, he was there in the very beginning as the Word existed. So let us just read the Scripture, and then we'll talk about it a little bit. It says, in the beginning, the Word already existed. The Word was with God. Now, I'm going to stop right there for just a minute, and the Word was God. Now, stop right there just a minute for some of y'all that may not know or understand. The Word is the spoken Word, but the Word is here meaning Christ. If you put the word Jesus there or the word Christ there, you would be the same thing as using the Word. That's just what it means. The Word means Christ. So if you reread that verse and you say in the beginning that Christ already existed, Christ was with God, and that Christ was God. But he's talking about it being the Word, him being the Word. He existed in the beginning with God. God created everything through him, and nothing was created except through him. The Word gave life to everything that was created, and his life brought light to everyone. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness can never extinguish it. This is a reading of God's Word for the people of God. Thanks be to God. You know, folks, as we see in the beginning, the Word already existed. He was there with God. God was from the very beginning. A lot of times the kids especially will ask the question is, well, who made God? Where did God come from? Where did all of this start? Well, God was God from the very, very first thing that ever existed. And his son Jesus was with him. The Holy Spirit, Jesus, they were all there. And so we see that it tells us that Jesus already existed as the Word was with God, and Jesus was God. So folks, a lot of times when we have things that we think about eternity, and we think about our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ and him being there for us and him being our Lord and Savior, as he came as a baby to come and die upon a cross that we could have eternal life, that is the one that was there when they laid the foundation of the earth. There's some more good scripture that I want to share with you this morning, and I'm going to go ahead and read a little of it. Colossians 1. Folks, Colossians 1 goes right along with where we're at here this morning. It is said that it could be some of the strongest statements about the divine nature of Christ that's found anywhere in the Bible. And Colossians 1, starting with the 15th verse, let's just listen to what Paul is talking about, Christ being supreme. It says, Christ is the visible image of an invisible God. He existed before anything was created and is supreme over all creation. For through him, God created everything in the heavenly realms and on the earth. He made the things we can see and the things we can't see, such as thrones, kingdoms, rulers, and authorities in the unseen world. Everything was created through him and for him. He existed before anything else, and he holds all creation together. Christ is also the head of the church, which is his body. He is the beginning, supreme over all who rise from the dead. So he is the first in everything. For God in all his fullness was pleased to live in Christ. And through him, God reconciled everything to himself. He made peace with everything in heaven and on earth by means of Christ's blood on the cross. Amen. Isn't that basically the same thing that we were reading in John 1? That in the beginning, Christ had all authority and he had all authority and knowledge and wisdom of everything. So it tells us that he existed in the beginning with God in the second verse. So what do you think when we stop and we think about Christ and we think about Advent? Advent, some of y'all may not be familiar with Advent, but Advent is a time that we begin to look forward to the coming of Christ. It is a time that used to, that in the beginning of the church, they would celebrate maybe 6 weeks. In the latter times, we've shortened it down, and we only celebrate 4 weeks of Advent now. And so we know that Advent is the coming of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Just like he came, folks, as a baby, just like he lived here on this earth, he died upon that cross. Jesus is coming back. He's coming back again. And we should be looking forward this time in Advent. We should be looking forward to the second coming of Christ, not just the stories that go with the first coming. But we should also be looking toward the second coming. We know that it's going to happen. And when it happens, will we be prepared? Will we all be shocked, or will we all be prepared for Jesus' coming? If he comes today or tomorrow, what would we all think? What would we all, how would we react? So it says that God created everything through him, and nothing was created except through him. When God spoke the world into being, Jesus was there. He was the Word. He was the one that spoke the Word. He spoke everything into being, folks. Now, can you imagine being there at the very beginning? Can you imagine that as he was with the Father when they placed Adam and Eve in the garden? You just imagine this for just a moment. And he was there. He was there witnessing all of this. And then he saw that Adam, he didn't live into his part. He didn't listen to what God had told him to do. And so we see that Adam ended up sinning. And at that point, Jesus knew that he would be the one to have to come and to shed the blood for our sin. It was after Adam did not live into listening, obeying God, as we do. But we are sinners because of Adam. We know how we're going to react. But because of what Adam done, Jesus had to come and shed his blood that we could all have a Savior. And we could all be saved and we could all be in eternity together. You know, it's a sad thing when we stop and think about Jesus. He was there with God. Everything was lovely. He was right there in the most beautiful place it could ever be. He had everything that he needed right there with the Father. And then, because of all of this brokenness of Adam, and because of the brokenness that we have, he had to come. He had to give up his spot to come and live in this world. Can you imagine what he must have thought when he knew he was able to see what was going on here, but when he arrived and began to grow up in this world that we live in today, when no one would believe that he was Jesus. Me and Tammy was looking at a little thing last night, and it was showing a thing that where that no one believed that Jesus was God. And they done everything in the world to him besides just not believing, just walking off from him. They did not believe that he came to be, that he already existed and he came to be our Savior. And when he tried to tell them, they laughed at him. When it was something that we've always heard. It was something that we've watched before. But it was so real because it's the time of the season that it is. And we see that Jesus came. And we see that as he was here as a child and as an adult, that the people, they wouldn't have anything that he had to say. They wouldn't have anything to do with it. And the disciples, it was showing the disciples as they followed him. Peter, even Peter, how he loved the Lord, but he just couldn't get it in his head that Jesus was who he was. He just couldn't grasp it all. And folks, sometimes I think that that's the way we are. We just can't grasp what Jesus, who he is, and what Jesus has done for us, and what he will continue to do for us. We can't get it in our head. And so we see that even though that he was God himself, as he came and walked this earth, he walked it as a human being, but he was also God. Yet he was rejected by almost everyone. Very few of the followers would come to know him as their Lord and Savior. We know that because we know that the Jews, we saw the Jews, that and Jesus was a Jew, but we saw the Jews reject him. They wouldn't accept him. And we know that they thought that he was blaspheming God by telling everyone that he was God's son. It was so sad. It was so sad time that Jesus came to save each and every one of them if they would only listen. And yet, they would not believe that he was God's son and he had existed from the very beginning. That he was there for the creation. The incarnation of Jesus. They just couldn't believe that that would have happened, that that could have happened. And so we see that the rejection began then and it continues today. People have no time for Jesus. People don't have time to get up on Sunday morning and come and spend an hour in the presence of the Word. Not in the presence of me and Brian with a puppy vest on, but in the presence of the Word. It is God's Word. It's him telling us how much he loved us. It's him telling us how much that he was prepared to give for the cost that he was prepared to give for each and every one of us. So it tells us in Hebrews 1, if you look at Hebrews 1, if I can find it right quick, I thought I marked it. Maybe I did, maybe I didn't. I can find it. I know. Hebrews 1, it says that, this is God talking to the Son, Hebrews 1:10. And he also says to the Son, in the beginning, Lord, you laid the foundation of the earth and made the heavens with your hands. This is what we read for the pouring of the water. They will perish, but you will remain forever. It tells us that we will wear out like old clothing, but he will remain forever. Folks, when we read these words and we see the beginning of Advent and we wonder, where is Jesus? Where was Jesus in the beginning? Do you wonder where Jesus is every day now? Well, he says, and where we were just reading in John 1, that he existed in the very beginning and he will exist through the end. He says that the Word gave life to everything that was created, and his life brought light to everyone. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness can never extinguish it. In John 1, 4 and 5. You know, folks, as we see that he brought the light into the world just as well as he spoke the things into creation. He brought the light into the world, and we know that when we come to the day of we go to be in heaven, that there will be no need for a sun, there will be no need for a moon, there will be no need for light, because heaven will be, it will be lighted by Jesus himself, the sun. We know this. It tells us this all throughout the Bible. But he created the light. He divided everything amongst the light from the darkness. And he says the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness can never extinguish it. Folks, never in my life have I ever seen the darkness any darker than it is right now. I don't know if y'all think about that or not, but the darkness is so dark. What are you talking about, Mike? It's no darker than it's ever been. Sure it is. The darkness in this world, it is truly unreal, folks, how dark the people are, how the people look at each other, how they treat each other. And it is so, so sad. I told Tammy a couple of mornings ago, we were talking, and she said something about the people have no, you know, respect for the law. They don't even act like there's a law. They don't act like there's anything, because we're moving toward cashless bails, and we just move toward things that make no sense whatsoever. And I told her, I said, and what disturbs me is that we will begin to see more and more people being the law themselves, of the people that controlling the people around them. And then last night I was looking at some of the news that was going on in different places. In New York, I saw where this guy was standing at a basically what we'd call a beauty shop, and as the women would come out, well, he would spit on them and spit in their face. And there was a couple of guys standing over there, and they just took it upon themselves to go. And as they went, they beat this guy, and they beat him, and they beat him some more. And they made him tell them, do you understand you're not going to do this? Do you understand this? And he finally agreed that he would not do this anymore if they would quit beating him. But they beat him to a pulp. Just exactly what I was telling Tammy, what's going to start happening. Because, folks, we're living in such darkness that people, they don't care anything about you. They don't care anything about God. They don't care anything about hearing the Word of God. And the darkness that they're living in is so great. It's going to be hard unless Jesus touches their heart and opens that heart for them to receive the Word of God. It's going to be so hard for them to receive it and for them to know and understand it. It's not going to happen, folks. It is a time of darkness like you have never witnessed before. You can believe that, because you can read back. It's been some dark times in the United States. It was dark along about the time Kennedy was assassinated. It was a bad time in the United States, if you're old enough to remember that, as I am. It was a dark time, but it wasn't as dark as it is now, because people still had respect for the law. They still had respect for other people, even with the things that was going on in the world at that time. Today, we see no respect for anyone. No respect. It's only the Christians that show any respect. It's the Christians that show love toward others. It's only us. It's only the ones that know Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. when Jesus was here and he came and he was living here, no matter what they'd done to him, no matter what, he forgave them. He forgave every one of them. Even when they placed him upon the cross, he forgave them. So we see that from the very beginning, folks, he knew and understood his destination. He knew and understood where we would be today. He knows where we're at. He knew that we would be here today. And he knows that it will get worse. It tells us all throughout Scripture that it will get worse. It's not going to get better because the end, it's working toward the end. And so as we see this, we don't come with a sad word today, but we come with a word that should give us hope and joy, and it should give us peace that not only did Jesus come once, he's coming again to cancel out all of this darkness. The light will shine. The light will take over. The light will rule. And so we see as the darkness, as bad as it is, he will come again. He says the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness can never extinguish it. Folks, no matter how dark the world gets, no matter how bad it is in your life, no matter how much you reject our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ and the people around you will not listen, it is coming a day when the darkness can never be extinguished. Jesus will come again. And when he comes again, he will settle all of this. And just as we look forward to the first coming of Jesus, we look so forward to the second coming of Jesus. Folks, I hope today that you know as the second coming is for real, and it will happen. I don't know when it'll happen. It may be another 3,000 or 4,000 years. I have no idea. But there's one thing for sure. Whether it's in our lifetime or whether it's not, we will one day meet Jesus. And when we come to meet Jesus, then it is our responsibility to be ready for that meeting. It's our responsibility to be ready to meet the light, to understand that we're going to move into a kingdom that requires no light, because Jesus will be the light. John went on and wrote in John 20, in the 30th verses, in the 30th verse, he said to the disciples, the disciples saw Jesus do many other miraculous signs in addition to the ones he recorded in this book, but these are written so that you may continue to believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that by believing in him, you will have life by the power of his name. Doesn't that give you a lot of hope, folks? That Jesus is the Messiah. He came as a baby. He lived with us for 33 years. And he died upon a cross for our sin. Not only mine, but yours. For everybody's sin. Everybody that will accept him. I know today, folks, I know lots and lots of people in my life and in my little surrounding that does not accept Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. And I don't know how to make them understand. I don't know what I could do to make them understand that this is for real, folks. We're coming to Christmas season. It's a time of Advent. It's a time that the people look forward to their Messiah coming. And yet, so many did not accept it. And today, so many will not accept it. What can we do to make them understand? I don't have that answer, except that we can tell others about Jesus. We can tell others how he came once as a babe. He lived here with us, and he died upon a cross and shed his blood for our sin. We can tell them. And whether they ever accept that or not, it's not up to us. It's up to God and them. But so many times we get so caught up in trying to make others accept Jesus, trying to force others to hear the word, to try to be the Christian that we would like for them to be. And folks, really and truly, all Jesus asks us to do is to tell others. Tell others about his love that he has for them. To tell them how he came. He was willing to die for them just as he was willing to die for you. To explain to them that love is the way that he lived his life. Forgiveness, penance, peace. And I hope during this Christmas season that you have the peace and the hope in Jesus, that you can have the best Christmas that you ever have had in your life. You know, every year Christmas comes, and as we get older, we look at Christmas a little different than we ever did before. Every year has been a step of growth when we look at Christmas for me. And I hope it has for you. When we were kids, all we was interested in was, yeah, we'd hear Christmas, we'd hear about Jesus, but we was interested in Santa Claus. And that was the only thing that really cranked our tractor, you know. But nowadays, we want to hear about Jesus. And as we get older, it becomes more and more about the love of God, the love that God had for us, and how he sent us the greatest gift we could ever have. And it didn't come through Santa Claus. It came through his son, Jesus, and how he came from the very beginning to then. And he still is now, and he always will be. The greatest gift that you can ever receive is accept him as your Lord, as your Savior, and know that this is forever. This is not just for a day or two or for a year or two. It is forever. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.